My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hulu minus Comcast equals Disney. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Disney will soon own all of Hulu. The media giant already controls two-thirds of that streaming service and will pay $8.5 billion to Comcast for the last chunk.
Disney is buying the rest of Hulu because Comcast is selling. Once upon a time, several media conglomerates jointly owned Hulu. But then Disney bought 21st Century Fox, giving it two-thirds control of the streaming service. It's since worked to integrate Hulu into Disney's streaming ambitions. But rival Comcast, which has its own streaming platform, made a deal to eventually take its content off Hulu and require Disney to purchase Comcast's stake as early as, well, this month. The unresolved question is, how much should Disney pay? Comcast wants billions more than the minimum price set back in 2019. Disney expects it will take until sometime next year to agree on a final price. I'm Novosoffo for Marketplace.
The tentative deals that brought an end to the six-week strike by the United Auto Workers are expected to bring collective bargaining power to workers at new electric battery plants owned by the automakers jointly. But the deals could also make electric vehicles even less profitable for the companies at a time when sales are not going as planned. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Electric vehicle sales have been growing, just not as quickly as hoped, says Sam Abu El-Samad, an analyst at Guidehouse Insights.
A lot of the projections that automakers talked about were pretty optimistic.
And now many are dialing them back. GM is scrapping its target of producing about 500,000 new EVs by the middle of next year. Ford extended its timeline to hit a goal of 600,000 EVs a year, and even Tesla sees demand softening. Abu El-Samad says electric cars are a harder sell, in part because of prices.
It's actually become somewhat more of an issue in the past year or so, even though prices of a lot of EVs have come down.
Fewer models are eligible for full EV tax credits under the terms of the Inflation Reduction Act, and car loans have higher interest rates. That makes it harder to reach mainstream consumers, says Michelle Krebs at Cox Automotive.
Early on, the EVs were purchased by affluent technology adopters, and we've kind of run through those.
Not everyone owns a home where they can install a charger. Like Matt Wheeler. He just paid off his Volkswagen Jetta and had been considering an electric car for his next purchase.
It made it seem like it's not the right decision for me at this time, even though in an ideal world, I'd love to make it.
Wheeler lives in an apartment, parks on the street, and isn't sure he can depend on public charging where he lives in Providence, Rhode Island. While charging infrastructure has expanded, it's still not exactly reliable in many places, says Ethan Elkind at UC Berkeley.
I think some of that is a victim of the success we've had with EV uptake. And so the chargers are getting more used, and the more they're used, the more they're going to break down.
He says billions in federal funding for charging infrastructure, plus a move by Tesla to open up its charging network, should help ease these growing pains. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
We were at the Federal Reserve's briefing about the future of the economy and interest rates yesterday after they left rates steady. Our coverage is in the Marketplace Morning podcast feed if you miss it on the air today. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The market for duplicate products, or dupes as they're known, is booming. Not outright fakes, but like those off-brand Cheerios, Toasted O's. In this case, we're talking cheaper alternatives to luxury products. Maybe instead of that $1,000 name brand handbag, you shell out a fraction of the money to buy something close enough. The BBC's Izzy Greenfield has been taking a look and filed this for us.
The luxury fashion industry in the US is currently valued at more than $27 billion, but high interest rates and inflation has seen a rise in bargain hunters searching for replicas or duplicates, known as dupes. The trend's been fueled by influencers such as Susie and Paul Botham.
This is not a dupe, because it's better than the original.
Tell me they aren't the same. Tell me. They're literally the same.
The hashtag dupe has been viewed on TikTok more than 4 billion times. But what is the difference between a dupe and a counterfeit? Elizabeth Payton is the international styles correspondent for the New York Times.
A dupe is an item that has similarities to a design item, but doesn't actually copy the logos or the trademark features. Dupes are generally not illegal, whereas a counterfeit or a fake is an item that's deliberately attempting to pass itself off as the real thing, and counterfeits are illegal.
But as intellectual property lawyer Kathy Hill explains, ultimately, someone's design is being copied.
So there's an ethical as well as a legal question as to whether that's right. It does start to undermine the brand in a way, because the brand is obviously losing sales through these dupes being so popular.
Jenny Taylor is a trainee teacher in England who buys duplicate designer sports leggings.
My mum recently bought me some Lululemons, which I absolutely loved. I wanted to get another pair, so I looked online and couldn't afford their price tag.
Instead of $100, the replica leggings were a third of the price.
I can't tell any difference between them and my Lululemons, and no one would know the difference. Definitely no, not showing any underwear when you're doing a squat in the gym. So yeah, they're great.
Absolute confidence. Get into it. Lululemon Align. We're fit.
So what about the companies affected? Well, Lululemon decided to embrace the trend and offered a swap deal, your duplicate for an original. Nikki Neuberger, their chief brand officer, admits they've been able to build the brand on dupe culture.
Anytime someone is sharing about an Align dupe, they're talking about Lululemon. It's validating our product as the original, as culturally relevant, and as stylish. So there's a lot of upside to that conversation for us.
As the dupes market continues to grow, more brands could decide to highlight the differences between the products instead of the similarities. In the UK, I'm the BBC's Izzy Greenfield for Marketplace.
or dupe, as we say in New Jersey. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.